when the Lord gave the feasts in Leviticus 23, they were for more than just the Israelites to observe at that time. While we are not commanded to keep the feasts and celebrating them is not necessary for salvation, during our next Facebook Live event, Dr. William R. Glaze will show how understanding the feasts will give us a deeper appreciation for this great salvation we have in Jesus Christ and how the work of Christ is deeply rooted in these Old Testament celebrations. Tune in to Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live event Tuesday, September 18th at 7:30 p.m. You will have an opportunity to ask questions about Dr. Glaze's series, The Feasts of Israel. Looking forward to seeing you at facebook.com/ Anchored in Jesus Ministries. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude the Feast of Trumpets from our series titled The Feasts of Israel. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Feast of Trumpets.
I thank God that we have salvation. And I thank God that we have salvation that we are kept by the power of God. And that God puts our name in the book and that he's not going to take it out. Man, would to God, man, maybe we should have something where we were trembling and fearing about our salvation, because I think that sometimes we take our salvation a little light. We take our salvation a little haphazardly. But these folks during this 10 days of awe, they wanted to make sure in every way they were right with God. So when it came to Yom Kippur, that they were in that right relationship. I put together some things, and I know I've used this before, but when it comes time to do a self-examination, that we need to examine ourselves. We need to see this 10 days of awe as being a lesson for all of us where we look at our own lives and we say, search me, O Lord, and know me, try me, and know my thoughts, know my heart, Lord. And as we look at this, several areas that we can look at devotionally as we are in this 10 days of awe for us, the spiritual awe, to ask the question, have you spent regular time with God in the Bible, reading, prayer, and worship? Have you examined yourself? If you look back over the last week or two, how much time have you spent in the Word? How much time have you spent on your face in prayer? How much time have you spent worshiping God? I'm not just talking about coming to the sanctuary. You know, remember a couple of weeks ago I was teaching and I said there's a difference between praise and worship. Praise is what we do. Worship is how we are. That praise comes out of a heart of worship. That your heart has to be in worship, because a lot of people can praise and their praise is not connected with their worship, because all they're doing is just a bunch of outward motions and a bunch of things outside. But when your praise is connected with your worship, then true praise comes out of your worship. Are you worshiping God? Not when you get here on Sunday morning. You know, I think it's a sad testimony if we have to wait till Sunday morning before we come to church to worship. Man, you should be worshiping all week. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That there should be worship 7 days a week in your life, that when you're riding on the bus to work, somebody ought to be so filled with worship that they just shout out, oh, the Lord is good. And somebody across the row says, and his mercy endures forever. That you got worship just flowing out of you. And so we ask the question, you know, when we come for these 10 days of awe, this time when we get right, have you spent time in worship? Second, move to family. And here, you know, a lot of us, I'll throw myself in here, you know, have fallen short. But, you know, we got to do this self-examination, right? Is there any unresolved conflict between you and your spouse? Or between anybody, you and your family? What, Lord, search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my ways. Have you neglected your spouse or family? Have you spent time in prayer and devotion with your spouse and family? Have you spent quality time cultivating your marriage? And have you served your spouse and family? Search me, O God. Convict my heart, Lord. Show me in my life, Lord, where I'm coming up short. Yeah, but you don't know the person I got to deal with. You don't know the hard heads in my family that I got to deal with. All I'm just saying is search you. Just let the Lord search you. He'll show you what to do. You know, because some people, you know, it's just hard to. Well, let me let that alone. Let me let that alone. All right. Self-examination. All right. During this 10 days of awe, are you giving an honest day's work? Let me just go ahead to the next one. I'm not even going to read the next one. Just go ahead. There you go. Personal. Is there any ongoing unresolved sin in your life? Any besetting sin? Any sin that just keeps grabbing you day after day, that's defeating you day after day? Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, Lord. Have you committed any sexual sins? Did you look at someone lustfully? Have you been alone in a compromising situation? Have you been flirtatious? Have you struggled with pornography, sexual-oriented material? Have you been prideful, gossiped, slothful, greedy, slanderous? Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Are you angry? Are you bitter? Are you jealous? Are you unforgiving? Are you fearful? Are you anxious? See, these folks did not want to come to the Day of Atonement and know that they had things in their life that were not pleasing unto the Lord. And they were so serious about this thing. For 10 days, they searched themselves. From the blowing of the trumpet until the Day of Atonement, there was a searching. Have you been completely above reproach in your financial dealings? Have you been trustworthy? Have you lied, stolen, cheated, been dishonest, or manipulative? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way, O God, minister to our hearts. And so this was one of the practices that they did during those 10 days. As we move on, we see that it was a holy convocation. And what lessons can we learn from the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur? Well, first we see there is a lesson in ruling, or the lesson in God's judgment. If you look at the notes that were passed out, let me read this. According to Jewish tradition, God records the words, the works, and the thoughts of every person in the book of life. At the end of the 10 days, God opens the book of life and examines the person's life. If there, now again, this is rabbinic tradition. This is not, okay, the salvation that we talk, but I'm just trying, what lesson can we learn? What lesson can we learn? If their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, their name was written in the book for another year. During this 10 days, and see, that this is why repentance, man, this is why repentance was so serious, because, you know, they felt like if they didn't get it right in that 10 days, if they didn't cry out to God, if they didn't give their heart to God, if they didn't cry out for their soul, that at the end of the 10 days, he was going to take their name out of the book. And so they repented wholeheartedly. During the 10 days, the people can repent and they could do good works to improve their chances of getting their name in the book of life for another year. And this is why some people refer to it as the Day of Judgment and the Day of Opening the Books. What lesson can we learn? The lesson that we can learn is that even though we're under grace, that there ought to be a sense of expediency about this idea of staying right before God. See, a lot of times, I like what Chuck Swindoll says. Chuck Swindoll talks about the fact that you know, we kind of put off, you know, our repenting, that we just put it off. You say, well, I'll repent when I go to church on Sunday. When Reverend George Angel gives the altar call for prayer, I'll go up and repent then. No, man, when you have a sense of urgency about repentance, repentance is right there. It's immediate. When you realize that every day you are before a holy God, a thrice holy God, the angels say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. that there ought to be a sense of, if I've done anything wrong, if I've walked in my own way, if I've had evil thoughts, if I have done wrong deeds, if I have said wrong words, oh, Lord, forgive me. And sometimes we're a little lax. But I think what the lesson that we can learn and we can take away from this, I know for me anyways, is that there ought to be a sense of urgency about our repentance, and that we will fall on our faces before God every day in repentance, realizing that his grace and his mercy, watch this. His grace and his mercy doesn't take our name out of the book, but it puts it in the book. Oh, yeah. Amen. And we ought to learn a lesson in renewal. And what is the lesson in renewal? There was hope that God would keep their name in the book of life for another year. This was like getting a new start to begin again. By putting their names in the book, God was wiping their slate clean and giving them another year. Oh, hallelujah. We ought to realize that every day, according to Jeremiah, his mercies are new every day. That when I get up, God has given me new life. That when I get up, God has given me a fresh start. That when I get up, God has given me a chance to get it right this day. When I get up, God has given me a chance to do it all over again. When I get up, God has given me a chance that whatever I messed up, I can clean up. Whenever I get up again, God has given me another opportunity to go forth and serve him with my whole heart. There ought to be a sense of renewal. Thank you, Lord, for putting my name in the book for another year. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to experience your grace for another day. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to walk with you and talk with you for another day. Amen. Amen. A lesson in renewal, that when the trumpet blew on the Feast of Trumpets, they examined themselves for 10 days, desiring to get their name back in the book for another year. And when their name was in the book, it was like God was giving them a new start, a fresh start. That's what I like about God, is that he's the God of a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, an eighth, a hundredth, a thousandth chance. And we serve a God that gives us this idea of renewal. And then Yeshua. How does this point to Jesus Christ? Let me read this in my notes. Rosh Hashanah is also called the hidden day. The feast was a mystery. It was one of the only ones that was concealed as to the exact day and hour. Now watch this. They didn't know exactly when it started. The feast was based on the first sighting of the new moon. There were individuals that were identified as watchers. They would look for the beginning of a new moon. Even though the new moon would be in the heavens at a certain time each month, it might not be clearly seen. As soon as the watchers saw a sliver of the new moon, all right, put that new moon up there, brother. So these guys were watching, right? We saw, anybody see last week the blood moon? Yeah, I stood outside, man, and looked up in the sky, and I was out there. I started looking at 7 o'clock, right? Looking out there, saw the moon. I saw, you know, all being covered, and I still was waiting for the blood. Never saw it. I saw the moon get covered up. I saw that right there. I saw that, but I didn't see the blood. You know, I'm going to do a teaching one day on these four blood moons, because there's a lot of questions about that. So maybe during this time, I might, since we're dealing with this, to come back and deal with the four blood moons. You know, we've had four blood moons. This actually was the second of four. They call it a tetrad. And this was the second of four blood moons. And the interesting thing, again, is that they all come, watch this now, on Jewish holidays. Okay, last week was what? Sukkot, all right? The one that we saw earlier this year was when? Passover, okay? There's two coming next year. Passover, and then again in September on Rosh Hashanah, all right? So, but I'll just whet your appetite on that, right? Okay, but these watchers, see, and this is why the Feast of Trumpets, they didn't know when it was going to start. Because if the sky was cloudy, then guess what? They couldn't see it. So as soon as the clouds cleared up, then, and they saw, now, you know, if it was a cloudy day and the clouds moved, it might be a little bit more than that. But just say on the average clear night, a new moon was, you know, that dark moon, okay? They were watching. These watchers were watching. And as soon as they saw that, as soon as they saw a sliver of light, they went to the temple and got with the high priest and the Sanhedrin, and they would let them know that they had seen the new moon. And then there was some kind of ritual that, according to the Talmud, one of the Jewish books, that they would go through to verify it. And then once they verified the fact that it was a new moon, they would blow the shofar 100 times, and that meant that the Feast of Trumpets had begun. And so that was, you know, when you think about that, how does that relate to Jesus Christ? What can we pull out of that in relationship to Jesus Christ? Three things. First, the day of Christ's coming is hidden. No one knows when it is. Like the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets was hidden. They didn't know the day or the hour. They, you know, they didn't know exactly when to start. See, all of the other holidays, they could do what? They could start it, you know, on the Jewish clock and just blow the trumpet. But this one, according to, let me give you that reference, Psalm 81, verse 3. According to Psalm 81, 3, they had to wait until they saw the new moon. And when they saw the new moon, and again, they didn't know when it was going to be. They didn't know when it was going to be. But when they saw it and they verified it, they would blow the trumpet to say that the Feast of Trumpets has begun. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 and 39, but of that day, man, I tell you, man, this stuff is just so rich. How that Christ, man, he just relating everything back to the holidays. Now, you go to Hebrews 8 through 10, it says that Jesus is the fulfillment of the feasts and all these other, he's the fulfillment of them. Look what it says here. Look what it says here. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but only my Father. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verse 36 and 39. That we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And so we need to be watchful. We need to be ready. We need to be, you know, as I remember when I first got saved, and people said, well, you know what? You don't want to be in the bar if Jesus comes back. That was enough for me. That's all I need to hear. You know, to stop going, I want to be looking. Blessed is that servant that looks when he comes. Blessed is that servant that longs for his coming. I don't know when he's going to come back. If somebody said, you know, we shouldn't waste time trying to figure out the time, because Jesus could come back anytime, and we need to be ready all the time. Hey, man, I like that right there. I like that right there. We need to be ready all the time. You don't have to say, oh, let me go and get ready. Let me go. No, you need to be ready. You know, you need to be ready to go every day. That's why we've been, you know, this whole idea of the 10 days of awe, to examine yourself so that you can be ready. Yeah, you might go in the rapture, but are you going to be ready? Are you going to be right? Are you going to be looking for him when he comes? The day of Christ's coming is hidden. No one knows when it is. The second thing that we see is that the day of Christ will be announced with a trumpet. The Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, the Feast of Trumpets, started out when the shofar blew. Christ will return. How many times they blow that trumpet? 100 times. What was the 100th time called? The last trumpet. Whew, man, this is some good stuff, man. This is some good stuff. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And 1 Corinthians says, when the what trump shall sound? The last trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That Christ is coming when that last trump sounds. That he left here and he said he was coming back again. The songwriter said, coming again. Coming again. May be morning, may be noon, may be evening, and may be soon. Coming again. Coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. When that last trumpet sounds, Jesus is coming again. Finally, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life those names who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will not face the judgment of God. Remember, one of the greatest fears that they had during the 10 days of awe was that their name would be erased out of the book of life. When an unbeliever accepts Christ, his name is inscribed in the Lamb's book of life, and he will escape the judgment of God. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank God. I don't know about you, but my name is written. And when I got saved, there was a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels told the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And with my sins forgiven, I'm bound for heaven, never more to roam. Thank God, my name is in the book. Is your name in the book? There's only one way you can get your name in the book, and that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank God that we don't have to, when we accept Christ, we don't have to worry about getting our name blotted out, because Christ writes it in his blood, and that our names are in his book of life, and we have eternal life. The Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, the new year, the beginning of the Jewish new year. There was a lot of things that they had going on, and now we can see the richness of these feasts. And remember again, the word feast can be misleading because it's not a smorgasbord, but it's a time where we acknowledge God's appointed days. Moed, God's appointed days. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for these feasts that we've been studying and the richness of these feasts. Lord, and I must say for years I've kind of avoided dealing with them because I felt that there was no spiritual nurture, no particularly spiritual value, even though I know it was the Word of God and we had to read it. But then, Lord, just to study and see the richness of these feasts and how that Jesus said that he didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. And that he is the fulfillment of all the vessels in the tabernacle. He is the fulfillment of all the offerings. And he is the fulfillment of all the feasts. They are all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior we have. Glory, hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior who can take the sinner and set him free. Lord, we don't realize how rich our salvation is. We don't realize how great our salvation is. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us all to just relish in this great salvation that we have. That we don't have to do a bunch of works and wonder when, if our works have been good enough to get us in. Lord, that you took the guesswork out of all of it when you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And then you made it very plain and you made it very simple. And you said this, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God is abiding upon him.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the Feast of Israel, the Feasts of the Lord, from our series titled The Feasts of Israel. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Feast of Trumpets, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Trumpets. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Feast of Trumpets. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.